Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
And the first time I did this a couple of years ago, I did not say I was nervous, and I damn near passed out. So I'm going to get that off the top. I'm nervous, okay? And I also tried not to curse because I believe, you know, I've seen signs in different meetings, you know, profanity is not a sign of spiritual growth. And I worked so hard on trying not to curse, I don't even know what I said. Right, and not that every other word is like that, but I was like really trying to be somebody and something, what I thought, you know, indicates a good speaker with a message, you know. So I'm letting all that go because I'm tired, you know. Whatever come out is coming out, and we just going to go with it, you know. I ain't even get the tape the last time because I ain't want to play it all the way from here to Columbia and critique it and say, I should have said this, I should have said that. I ain't even get it, right? So I don't know what I said, and hopefully that helped. But as far as the part that I play, I show up. You know, it's like meeting over. You know, it was like real simple. You know, I waited all my life to come somewhere where stuff is simple. And it was like I could come up with all this real profound stuff, but it was like show up. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, it doesn't matter. I just show up. You know, even in using, when I didn't physically show up, my presence showed up for my family because I missed stuff. So they spent most of the reunion, the funeral, the wedding saying, where is she? When is she coming? So even when I wasn't there, I still showed up. You know, that negative part of me showed up. And so then by the time I came, they were all pissy. You know, and I'm unconcerned, like, well, I'm here, then I got an attitude. You know, like, I did them a favor by showing up to the reunion. You know, and I don't know, I'm from Baltimore originally. I'm an only child, too. So when she was saying that, it's something special about us. You know, that's all I can say. So you either like us or you don't. It's like that, you know. And I came into this program in 1990. I haven't found it necessary to leave. And I always showed up for what you wanted me to show up for. You know, I was like a chameleon, basically. If we were out and you were loud and laughing, I'm going to be loud and laughing. You know, if you were sad, I was sad. I felt what you felt. I had none of my own emotions whatsoever. Because as an only child, I want you to play with me. You know, and that went up through like little to, it could have been yesterday if I don't stay in meetings, you know. Because I'm bound to resort back to that. And, you know, that's just the truth of it. And so when y'all told me, you know, smoke this, I smoked it. I showed up. You know, you said take the black beauties. Okay. You know, the hearts. Yeah. I'm going to do that too. And then y'all said do the coke. And then you had the little kit, the little QC kit that went with it. And the little pinky finger, you know. It was like an atmosphere that went with it. And I watched you all, and you had a smoothness about it. So I showed up. And when my ex-husband taught me how to cook it, I showed up for that too. And then I just stopped showing up after that. You know, after the pinky finger and the little kit and all that, down to the glass with a rubber band and aluminum foil, I couldn't show up for nothing. You know, I really couldn't show up for shit. That's what I couldn't show up for. You know, even the borrowed ashes next door. I said borrowed because I wasn't buying cigarettes and getting high. I couldn't do both. So I had to go next door and get ashes from them. You ever tried to explain to other people why you need their ashes? I'm by myself. And did it with dignified. Excuse me. Ashes, can I get them? You know, and march myself right back next door and continue smoking. You know, tried to get the King's Dominion. King's Dominion ain't that far, right? You know how you start getting high early in the day? We getting ready to go. 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 We ain't really want to go. That's how, you know, that's how it sort of came down. So I showed up, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when it was over, I had lost my job. I was a school teacher in Baltimore City. I taught kindergarten. For the last couple of years, them kids taught themselves, and I have to be real honest about that. You know, thank God for videotapes and books or cassette. They rolled through kindergarten without me for the last couple of years, and but I showed up, you know. I was Miss, what's her name? I showed up. And so in the end, you know, the car was gone. No, the car was still there. It had a donut tie. It was a hole in the muffler, so I turned the radio up. But it was a sports car, you know, so it still looked kind of good. And the husband was gone. I had gone back to my mother's, and all of a sudden, when I showed up at my mother's, doors went on rooms that never had doors before. You know, prayers were left on my pillow, the 23rd Psalm. You know, this is not a religious program, but somebody prayed me up in here. That's the honest truth. And I always remember my grandmother used to leave the 23rd Psalm on my pillow. I know she didn't have access to a copy machine, but there would be a new one there every night when I came back from my runs, you know. So in the end, they told me I could come to treatment. And when I came, I still showed up as a person. I guess my part was I didn't think I was that bad. You know, I still had a car, braids. I had braids in my hair, more were out than in. For the females, y'all know about that, you know, where you do that ponytail where these all back here are gone, you know, and you bobby pinning them up, you know, to try to work that thing out. And I still thought I was kind of cute. I didn't notice. I had looked behind me. It wasn't much back there. You know, that had all been smoked up. You know, truly recovery has been better, you know, because it's back there now. But, you know, in treatment, they told me if I could just say I was powerless, I would be powerful. And so, you know, that was like real hard for me to understand because I felt like y'all had already asked me to do too much. You'd already said for me to say I was unmanageable. You'd already told me to try to get a God in my understanding. You already told me I needed to get a sponsor, somebody to help me do some things, you know. I'm showing up in this treatment facility where the mattress is about as thin as this, you know, piece of paper. And I'm going to meetings. I'm in meetings, you know, it started out in the other fellowship, but I'm in meetings with people that don't look like me. You know, they white, they tall, they short, they dark, they this, they that, they from all over. And now you want me to admit that I'm powerless. I was just like, that's a bit much, you know. And then they suggested a halfway house. Again, I have to show up. That's my part, right? So I go to the halfway house. I stay there. And in the halfway house, I learned how not to be a chameleon. For the first time, I had a voice. I learned no was a complete sentence. I thought you had to say no and explain, you know, because I was used to wanting everybody to like me. So I had to explain why I was saying no. No, I can't ride you to the dance because I'm going to do, instead of no. And when I heard it and said it, it scared me, you know, because that was y'all giving me the no, because I never had the power to say it by myself, you know. And after having been here, I guess the hardest part for me has been showing up when I don't wanna. You know, letting people get to know you. My home group members, you know, I had envisions that this script that I was going to write for myself meant that I was going to end up with the fence, you know, the house. Y'all heard the story. The man, you know, the man was going to be like where Dennis sitting on the front row. That's my baby Shan up there. You know, after we done walked on the boardwalk with the sun setting and stuff. You know, that's my script that I wrote, right? And needless to say, Dennis is my friend, but he ain't cheering for me. That's my baby, you know. That script didn't happen. But it ain't because I didn't try to make it happen, you know. But when the script didn't unfold, the part that I had to play was I had to show up anyway. You know, because it wasn't promised to me that way. What was promised was freedom from active addiction. And that if I did the steps, if I had a God in my understanding, I had a sponsor, I'd get better. And basically, that's what I have done. I've gotten better. I suffer from the disease of depression. Some people can pray it away. I wasn't that lucky. Because I was too depressed to pray. I don't know about nobody else. You know, some people, it worked for them. I didn't have an old God in me. You know, I was crying at Charmin commercials. You know, I was in meetings with, oh, man, they'd have done me wrong. You know, it was ugly. And so I politely went to a doctor and got a happy pill, which I take happily every morning. Now, some people have a problem with it. I went to the text. They said, as long as I went to a doctor and not an auto mechanic to get my medication, that I was in order, right? And that's what I went with, not Jiffy Lube. I went to the doctor. And so the part is, even when I don't feel like it, I do what I don't want to do. I did not want to admit I was powerless over drugs and admit that I was powerless over depression at that, because I thought willpower. It's not about willpower. It's a biochemical disorder. It's a disease. You know, if I had cancer, diabetes, or anything else, I'd take my medication. You know, I guess the thing that's kind of what I was thinking about today is I was outside this little condo place, and I saw these two birds, and this one bird, like, you know, because that wind was whipping, right? And this one bird just, like, came around the corner and smacked into the wind, right? And I could just see him with the old shit face, you know, because he was just like, you know, like, oh, my, you know, going for it, right? And then this other bird was, like, dipping, you know, trying to find the wind, move with the wind. And I was like, so we show up so we can adjust. You know, that's all I could think about, because that's what that bird was doing. He was just trying to adjust to the wind, right? The one that got smacked in the face ain't never come back, right? And I was thinking about me. When I rush in to stuff, I get smacked in the face. But when I show up and I adjust based on the situation, things seem to go a whole lot better, for me anyway. You know, my therapist has this thing that she says, I get a grip when I let go. And the guy that spoke at 8 o'clock, he was talking about the catchy little phrases and stuff like that. That's the stuff that gets me going, them catchy little phrases, you know. This year, and that and the music, you know, like this year is Get Down, Get Funky, Get Loose. That's my song this year, right? Because I always wanted to be free of what you all thought of me. You know, what you all in the rooms and out of the rooms. I just carry so much baggage about other people's perception. And this year, I'm tired. I don't want to do it. You know, if it's down from the hair to where I live, what I drive, whatever, it's like I just want to be free to be me. You know, I came down here Wednesday by myself, went to dinner at Phillips, sat out there and looked at the ocean, put the little, you know, napkin across my lap, and had dinner with myself. I gave myself a date, you know, and that's a big deal. I don't know about anybody that's single, but to sit in a nice restaurant, you can sit in McDonald's with a Happy Meal. That ain't hard, you know, because you ain't in there that long. But to make yourself sit and have a nice meal, and when they collect up them extra plates, you ever seen them collect that stuff up when you by yourself? You know? And they like, oh, it's just you? And they scrape the whole table away? You know? It takes a minute to say, yeah, I'm with me. I'm not by myself. You know, I'm here. Right? To do that. To go to the movies. Those kinds of things. So the part that I'm playing now is to treat me as good as I treat you all, you know. My home group members, the men that are in my home group, I ain't never had trouble with the women, right? I like women. My biggest problem was I would let them kind of run me, but I always had girlfriends. Now we staying equal, right? Or we just not friends, and I'm all right with that, you know. But the men in my home group, If the men I dated were as awesome as the men in my home group and some of the men that I've met in the fellowship, I mean, them hugs where when you put your boobs up there, it don't feel like it's something else going on. You know, I'm talking about when they call and they say, how are you? And it's nothing in it. You know, it's no garbage in it. It's genuine love. You know, the men in my home group teach me how to pick the men that I want to date. You know, and that's how it should be. Because I remember as a newcomer coming in, I didn't feel that. You know, I used to shake people's hands because I didn't feel like all them hugs was genuine. I felt like a lot of them was lecherous, you know, and I was uncomfortable with it. That was just me. Now, I could have been uncomfortable with me, period, but I really know a lecherous person. I know Louis the Lounge Lizard when I feel him. I ain't forgot that, you know. And so that was uncomfortable for me, so I didn't like for people, men, you know, to hug. I really didn't until they said, find a home group, you know, let people get to know you. And then as they gave the hugs, I understood what the difference was and that it was genuine. You know, I don't know. The part is that I love being here. I am certainly the person that I never thought I was going to be. I've been able to travel all over the world through my job, and I never thought I'd get that opportunity. You know, I never thought that what I wished, the script that I wrote, I never thought that it would turn out like this. You know, when Barbara was sharing about her children, the height of my addiction was when I found out I had cancer at 23. I'm unable to have children. And so for a lot of years I used because I thought that that made me less than. And I wouldn't go to baby showers. I wouldn't even look at children, you know, for the most part. And through being here, getting help outside the rooms and letting NA be my family, I got a whole bunch of children. You know, most of my home group members, I have watched their children go from little people where they said the Serenity Prayer in the meeting from babies, now to go off to college and get married and a whole bunch of stuff. And they love me, you know. For all the holes that I've had, NA has found a way to fill them. Maybe not as deep as I would like, maybe not when I wanted them filled, but there are less and less holes with each year that I'm here. And even through sponsorship, you know, my sponsor's over there at the Go-Go, and I was hoping all y'all was going to be at the Go-Go, for real. And I don't like Go-Go. Let the record show, I don't like it. And so my sponsor said, could you please do something with me? So I bought a Go-Go ticket, and I let them Go-Go for 3 minutes, and I kissed her, and I said, I have done what you asked me to do. I showed up. She asked me. I did it, even though I didn't want to, because she said, can you do this for me and with me? And she happy. She's over there killing herself at the Go-Go. And I'm done. I'm going to bed when I leave here. You know, but what I'm coming to understand is that my part is to do what I don't want to do. My part is to tell somebody about the stuff I don't want to do. You know, the weirdest thing that happened to me in the last year was I saw somebody and fell in love at first sight. First sight. You know how you read about that? Mm-hmm. Right? First sight. And for 6 months, I saw this person, and I have never approached a man before to go out. And I'm sharing that the difference was that after 6 or 7 months, I asked this person out for coffee. I would have never done that. For one thing, I didn't think that I was good enough to ask anybody anything. I had to wait for you to pick me. So, is he here? No. Did love at first sight work? No. but I did it. You know, it's like I decided that I wasn't going to let what someone else thought about it make it right or make it wrong. I just went through it. I felt it. And the joy of it was that even though the end didn't turn out like I want, because I like law and order. You know, I like a beginning, a middle, and an end. Right? So even though the end didn't turn out, what showed out was that I did something different. Right? And that for the first time, I felt worthy to make a choice. And that I only get better by practice. And then making that choice and saying, and doing that, it lets me know that I'm not a victim because it didn't turn out right. And I'm not an experiment because I tried something. All I am is a woman in recovery, trying to get better, trying to learn about me, and trying to let you help me learn about me. That's all that means. So I'm glad I came. I was hoping y'all weren't going to be here, so it would be an empty room, but y'all addicts for some reason come out for midnight meetings. I don't know what that's about. So I think Barbara and I are glad about it, so thanks for letting me share. I have no idea the time it is.